We are rolling 3, 2, 1.
Yeah! This is it! We reached a milestone, people!
Fucking 10 years later.
We're out! We are out! This last movie review. Not of Watch Your Cinema Language, or Cinema Language, whatever you guys want to call it out there. But of the Star Wars motherfucking prequels! We're out! No more! One more movie to review!
We got two more.
And then out of the prequels. We are out of the prequels.
Oh yeah, we're done with
Prequel Land is gone! Damn.
Yep, definitely done. Oh.
Feel it, Mike. Feel it, guys. What's up, guys? I'm Marcel. This is my gracious co-host.
Man, what's up, guys?
And we are on Cinema Language. That epic knockoff battle cover that we have right
yeah,
there.
So thank you.
We couldn't borrow the mouses.
Symphonic Metal Battle of the Heroes on YouTube. Check that shit out. Pretty dope. Yeah. Pretty dope shit, man.
Don't take it off.
No, please. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah,
it was just awesome. That's a great little cover right there.
Yeah, so and a great score to one of the very, very good moments in the Star Wars prequels.
There's a lot going on.
In the Star Wars universe also as well. So.
Yeah. Well, we can never fault Star Wars for their scores, ever. And it's one discussion we've always brought up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't even have a problem with one in Attack of the Clones, if I remember correctly.
No. Honestly, the prequels have kicked ass score-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had to say so. They've been really good scores for these movies.
One thing.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're not kicking a lot of Sith ass in this one. Well, actually, they kind of are. So we are doing a review of which one?
Revenge of the Sith. Episode 3.
I always love watching Zack and Mary make a porno, and he's like, a Revenge of the Shit, the all anal.
I forgot about that. That's a good one.
Oh, shit.
But this is the watchable prequel, guys. The one we wanted from Phantom Menace in 99, I feel like. The one that people were out there saying, I want to see Anakin do this. I want to see Anakin go to the dark side. I want to see him get angry. I want to see him get mad. I want to see him just wear the helmet. I want to hear everything. Nah, this is everything Lucas
for.
Clearly wanted to get to also.
Oh, and some of the cinematic battle scenes. Oh, but, you know, we'll get to those definitely. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm watching it now and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and it was also the first PG-13 Star Wars.
Really? So, didn't know that.
As a kid, I was like, we are going to see some shit. Like, people will die and burn. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it was definitely some shit getting chopped off there.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith, I remember when this was out, and it was a big deal. It was, for being PG-13 and the posters they were releasing. Mainly the PG-13 one was that stood out to me, because I thought we were going to, like I said, we were going to see some shit in this one. And this was the last one. And we knew this was the one that will finally, I didn't even hyped it up, the big Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, the inevitable was going to happen.
Yeah.
This one. So that's also what was very exciting about it. And the trailer was good. The trailer has been good for all the movies, even the new ones that are out now. I think Star Wars has always aced their trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was the one that felt closest to a Star Wars movie out of all the prequels, too. You know, it opens with a Star Destroyer and a space battle and lightsabers going on and rescuing people and running through the ship and shooting lasers. And, yeah, this is Star Wars.
It's very cinematic opening. It was a thing of beauty compared to what we were looking at in most of the other films as far as backdrops goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This is from the get-go, dude. I believe it's better looking. You know, from the opening scene, the CGI is already better than
episode 1 and 2. So very well.
And not because it's a newer film than those, but it also has a lot more depth. You know what I mean?
And things were... a big complaint was everything was so brand new and shiny when it came to the prequels. And we're looking at this and it looks like lived in. You know what I mean? Yeah. It still got that nice sheen on it. Mm-hmm. You can see this right behind you, Marcel. And we're watching them destroy the vultures.
It does. It has looks more like shiny sheen.
It's got shiny to it, but at the same time, you can see that the battle wear on these, all you know, there's fighters. And then, you know, because they're fighting an entire fucking war, right before this, and all kinds of stuff is going on. But you could see score marks and stuff. They had a lot of detail on the fighters. Yes. It was awesome. A little touch there.
Yeah, it's the best looking one. Like, don't get me wrong, you still suffer from the same in regards as dialogue and stuff as the first writing. Two. It's better, but still, it's wooden and forced from time to time. But even today, it looks better than.
Oh, dude, no, I'm not having any qualms. Like, I don't feel like I'm watching an old movie. So that's a plus for you.
Oh
guys.
No, definitely. But yeah, it's and this one's easy to follow. You understand why Anakin's angry and what he's going through.
And the council is kind of dicks.
Yeah, no, they're still dicks. They're still assholes to the very end, man.
To the very end, man.
There's a lot of good things about this movie. Does that make up for everything in this movie? No, because by definition, this is a bad movie. But this is the first time watching where I said, I'm glad I watched it. You know, I'm glad I watched the Star Wars prequel. It wasn't bad. There's just enough good things in here. And the focus of the movie is where it should be, and that's on Anakin.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, most people know he's going to become Darth Vader. And things will go wrong in a big separation between him and Obi-Wan, but this is the first time it plays closer to how you may think it's supposed to play out. There's betrayal. Mm-hmm. Manipulation and big sword fights. And there's explosions and there's students against teacher. It's the ultimate failure, and yet there's so many dumb scenes still hanging around in these movies. Like, some say Anakin turns way too fast, and I see that, because it's one thing to learn the dark side and to save your loved one, but to kill so many people and switch sides and kill younglings, it's sort of completely out of nowhere.
It is.
But I'm skipping a little bit, but that's something that I will add in right here about it. But it, like I said, it's the easiest to follow through. You can have this movie on mute and know what's going on. The other two are full of so much political bullshit within it that it does make the hearts follow for not just kids, but adults alike. Come on. And like I said, have this movie on mute, you can pretty much know what's going on and know the story. And it felt more like we're in the Star Wars universe now. Like it has a history. So yeah.
I'm actually going to pick up Rebels after this. Not Rebels. Rebels and Attack of the Clones. The animated show? Series. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm watching Clone Wars too right now, but I've just started watching Clone Wars. I've watched Rebels before, and now that Disney Plus is a thing, Rebels is excellent.
Yeah. Well, like, I love Rebels. Like, I have to get into it because I hear that there's some of the best Star Wars content out there right now. So I'm definitely going to have to pick that up.
I don't know much about Resistance. I watched some of it, and I was kind of thrown off.
It's more
by
of
the
for kids, though, isn't it?
That's like, what I heard. And then I look at it, and I think that's how it was buzzed about.
Yeah.
Actually, looking at some of it, what I've seen, it's more adult. I don't know. I have a full say. From what I've seen, I wasn't disappointed fully by the first two episodes.
And that's what this was always supposed to be. It's supposed to be a kid's movie that adults are supposed to enjoy. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And the magic of the film is that you watch events that are controlled and planned, yet they feel spontaneous. If the film is good, but it is largely recited over telling people to do certain things in a certain way and make sure you say things exactly like this and you look here at this moment in Revenge of Sith. But this one doesn't have that spontaneity.
Okay,
of the
spontaneity, yeah.
Spontaneity, you know I can't talk, man. The original Star Wars films had, but the dialogue has improved over the first two, definitely.
Yes. There is some fucking funny shit, though.
Yeah. But let's get into it, brother.
All right, I'm already in it.
As you already have, that's already in it. This movie opens with Obi-Wan and R2 and Anakin and
great
all them.
Great character, forget, little cast right there. R2 always with the comic relief. It's just some wacky shit that just happens in this beginning section.
With that same scream your girlfriend makes. Whatever he does, scream, whenever he gets shoot. I swear. Be like, when do we get a droid, man? Mike's like, it's my droid.
Leave my
female
droid
alone. Nah. Leave her alone. Poor thing. But yeah, this movie opens up with them trying to rescue Palpatine, who's been imprisoned by Count Dooku and General Grievous. And in all honesty, just the opening of Revenge of the Sith was far better than the one at the end of episode 2. And there's actually humor that works. There's good banter, if you notice, between Obi-Wan and Anakin. And I have what do you have on?
I'm playing the Wilhelm scream. Don't worry about it.
Oh, your girlfriend's scream? Just get her in here.
Continue.
The mic. But yeah, there's good banter between Obi-Wan and Anakin. And I've always liked watching R2 burning all those droids. And I think that's a great moment in here because even R2
I just don't get it. Like, they're made out of metal. He spills oil on the floor and then he ignites it. Okay. And that kills robots.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue it.
That was
but
pretty sick. I actually kind of like that shit.
No, it's really cool. And it looks like it's a cool thing that happens.
Cool little quirk. It's like, shit.
But
that took
it's
out
really,
all
that. It's really dumb.
Yeah. He's like,
it's stupid fun. It's stupid fun.
Yeah. Like, laugh, guys. And I was like, yeah, you got to chuckle out of me. Probably for the right reasons.
I'm pretty sure, like, you want it. They do that screen right there. Yeah.
But General Grievous, my nigga right there. And I do like Grievous for like the Grievous is such an asshole because he's in it for him. Like, yeah, there's something that he has to do and there's a mission he needs
he's
to do.
He's a pure
but
villain.
He's a pure villain. Like, yeah. If he sees things are fucked, get out of my way. I'm first off this shit. You know what I mean? He's definitely Titanic dude when he takes the child and he says, it's mine. And he's like, yeah, it's not your kid. Like, General Grievous is going to do whatever he can do to get out of any situation. I love that attitude. It makes me laugh because he also take that attitude he has and you see it more in the shows. Like if you watch Rebels or Clone Wars or whatever. I think Clone Wars more so. Yeah. But just watching him is like, yeah, he's in this. He's trying to get out of the fucking way. Like he's after you, but he's all about him.
Yep.
And what getting what his is. And I do like his character. I
Grievous
like him a lot.
Is a well-directed character as far as any of them go because they pick his specific, you know, what they make it, they're gonna make his ideals, and then he sticks to those to a T.
Yeah,
if I have an opportunity to get out, I'm gone. That's simple as that. And he does it so many fucking times in these movies and franchises, like, especially, you know, when they face off against him later on in the Separatist ship. He fucking blows the whole room out, just killing everybody.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about none of y'all. I'm out, guys. I'm out.
And he's probably fighting you because he thinks he has a chance right now. But
yeah.
That first doubt, he's like,
nah,
I'm out. He'll
nah,
run.
Homie, I'm out.
He's definitely not the fool you bring on any type of spree with you or you're like your ride or die. Nah, he's about him at the end of his day.
And then we have, oh, I don't know if what's up on your next notes, but Count Dooku.
Oh, yeah. He's just chilling there. Count Dooku chilling with Palpatine, who's been
controlling everything.
Yeah, just sitting there. And I love the way Palpatine gives that hint of the evil emperor when he tells in this scene right here where the next scene where they find because it's all about a rescue to get Palpatine. They find Palpatine. Dooku's there. And like I said, I love when they give the hint of the evil emperor when he tells Anakin to cut Dooku's head off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's right after the moment he does it, when he has both of the lightsabers
Dooku's like,
in his hands.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah, he's like, he looks at him like,
bruh.
What, nigga, this wasn't the plan.
This was your plan.
He looks at him like, what?
What are you doing?
But Palpatine's basically like, kill him. He's like,
Dooku's
a
ride or die, dog. Dooku's a ride or die because he knew he was about to die, and he still didn't rat out Palpatine. He still didn't.
Yeah.
Had he ratted out Palpatine right then and there, Anakin might not have gone to the dark side at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing. I'm just like, wow.
I kind of expected him to say, that's not the Jedi fight now, fuck him. And just his head goes off. That would have probably stopped Anakin if he had said, told him that in person. And right after Anakin, decapitates
he
head.
Relieves him of his head.
Yeah, relieves him of his head. There's a great moment of silence after he does it.
Yeah, it's very ominous.
Yeah,
you hear
it was
the plop.
And that was it's a great moment of silence, and like he's thinking it over. I love that moment of silence. You need that after he does something like that. Because it's pretty affecting, and it was a pretty violent thing at the time for a Star Wars movie, I feel like. And I really like the way they handled that scene. I really like how it was handled.
Nice.
And the sound effect, was like this strange echo blast of some kind, and you feel like Anakin just did some shit right after he does that. By the way, and what's really cool about this, Mace Windu gives Grievous that cough. if anybody's wondering. And I just found out about this year. But you have to watch, like, it's on Cartoon Network because Josh and I was talking about it. And I thought he was talking about the Clone Wars series that, you know, most everyone talks about. The movie is based off the series on the show that was on Cartoon Network, I believe. This other show was on Cartoon Network, but the one everyone knows is the one that has like 6 seasons, coming back to Disney Plus in February, I believe, to finish it off. But there was another one with older looking animation in like 2003, where it's all going up to the offense of Revenge of the Sith, and Mace Windu gives like force chokes him or something like that, earning Grievous to get that cough. And I thought that was a really cool add-on that you had to watch the... Watch the cartoon again.
You can watch it to know that, but at the same time, you don't need to know.
You don't need it. It's a cool little detail.
Yeah.
You know, and you wonder why he calls. You can add that to part of his character, but learning the essence of that.
Grievous is definitely a out of left field character. If you don't know any of the backgrounds of the Clone Wars, because I don't believe he was in any of part two, right?
No.
So he was just like a general that just pops up during the war. And I want to see where his actual true introduction lies. That's why I want to go back to watch those series. Because he's interesting.
The first cut of Revenge of the Sith was 4 hours long.
I would have watched it.
Yeah, and his opening action sequence was over an hour. And you can kind of tell there are certain things that are cut out if you watch it. Wow. With me learning that fact, I could tell a little bit, but shit, that thing was over an hour. I get why it's cut. Don't get me wrong, but I would definitely be interested if they ever planned on it.
Really, just release the whole 4 hour. You had the whole 4 hour cut. That would be cool. Awesome. I wonder if it was fully CG'd and everything. You know, like if it was fully rendered.
Because I get why it's not theatrically released, but I would love to see that.
I can see George Lucas doing that. I can totally see him CGIing the whole film,
right?
And then
he already did that,
releasing it.
Yeah. But early on in the movie, when they're getting back from the mission and docking their ship, and you'll blink it if you miss it, but you can see the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Where? What?
If you want to look for it real fast, I'll talk a little bit
more about it. Oh, you're talking about when they're done. When they're done.
Yeah, and they're flying back, and you have to look really good. About.
It's in the bottom right corner.
Yeah, like the bottom right corner of the screen, you can see the Millennium Falcon. And I was like, that's cool. I didn't learn that until way later, but that's really neat. But as soon as they start walking around these rooms and Mace Windu is looking at things and trying to act like these blue screens are natural, it just doesn't work because we're back into Star Wars prequel land, guys. And the background of these sets just aren't real. Even if this is the last movie, or even what we thought might be the last of Star Wars at the time, no shit changes still. It's the same. And we get to Anakin learning that Padme's pregnant because, as we know, they got married secretly in the last movie, and no one else knows about this marriage between
not
the two.
Not supposed
yet.
To have babies, not supposed to have sex.
Yeah, now they're about to have
you're just
babies.
All the fucking rules, aren't
all
you?
The
there
fucking
any fucking. Where is it?
Right there.
There, bottom. Yep. It's up. Nope, it's flying. Just past it. Oh, there it is. Bam.
Yep. Is that there? It's a cool little add-on. So, so Anakin learns that Padme is pregnant, and you can tell he's ready to bounce. Nah, just kidding. He's like, fuck, I'm the father.
Nah, he
you know, it's been
shit.
Nice, Padme.
He's just so excited. I don't get that.
He's like, oh, I'm so excited. You just like, fucked everything your shit up. Just got a lot more harder, bro.
Oh, Annie.
But honestly, yeah, he's not ready to bounce, but you can tell he's a little iffy about the info, though, and he's not too pleased with it. Honestly.
Yeah.
And during that scene, you get more little dialogues after that with them where you're like, you're so beautiful. And well, he goes, I gave him the girl voice, but you might as well switch the pants in this relationship. But he's like, you're so beautiful. And it gets cheesy as fuck. And Padme turns to
like
him and he's like, it's only because I'm so in love. And I'm just like, this is fuck.
Shut up.
Imagine a Sith.
Feels like
let's
it's
go.
Been a lifetime since we've been apart.
I forgot from that opening that I'm
Annie,
still watching
trembling.
Revenge of the Sith. But it's very apparent. It's very apparent that this was the story that Lucas wanted to tell the whole time. Because Anakin's turn toward the dark side and Palpatine's psychologically messing with Anakin and the twisting of his mind and the turning of his friends and loved ones was the end goal that Lucas was trying to get to, and it's the story that we wanted to see, and you can really tell in the screenplay and that this story and that there's a story within this one. In all honesty, it's pretty smart the way George Lucas maneuvered this story to get Anakin to turn. Because you get Palpatine, I mentioned this while we were all watching, you get Palpatine recommending that Anakin be on the council, on the console. Yeah. So Anakin is all excited about that, but the console goes, hell no! Like, hell no! You might as well hear Samuel Jackson say, motherfucker, no! In the council. And Anakin's really upset about that, and he piped,
You got recommended from somebody outside of the council. That is a beyond, like, stupid for you to be upset about. Like, yeah. You just waited a little while longer, Anakin. Were a hero of a fucking war. Like, you were, I think he's general, like, of some sort. Like, he's an actual general or some kind of, like, commander.
Right.
Come on. Give it a month. Like I said, give it a month. You would have been a fucking champion. Oh, my God.
And this is war hero Anakin, too, bitching and crying, which I feel like, oh, he did all this in the war that I hear about. But if you watch Clone Wars, you get a good sense of it from what I watched. And I know a big complaint, just to sideline, too, a little bit, but the big complaint about this movie is that Padme doesn't get much to do but be the pregnant girl in this movie. And just she's kind of just there. To get to a moment in the movie, which will be at the end where we get to. But I believe she does good for what it is. I guess if you don't get it, the action Padme that you get. We had two movies where she kicked butt. I get her role in this still. It's still everlasting. Natalie Portman's a mom. Still acting. Yeah, she's a mom. She's doing what she has to do.
She's mothering a child at this point in time.
Exactly. I would believe her doing this more than doing flips as a pregnant woman, you know what I mean?
She would never did no flips.
Or whatever the hell she's doing.
She was doing some wild shit in Attack of the Clones. Let's be real. She was
jumping on big ass monsters and making Anakin look like a praying bitch. Mantis. But, you know, I'm okay with what her role is in this movie. And I guess if you want to see badass Padme, you have to look at the Clone Wars. They have to go within the Clone Wars because the Clone Wars is still going on in Revenge of Sith all the way up to Order 66.
Yeah.
But if you want to see her involved in her being this general in a sort of way, you have to kind of watch Clone Wars for that. But within the movies, if that's all the context you get, I guess I get it. And you could kind of almost assume Padme had no part in the Clone Wars probably while watching this movie. So that's guessing that way.
That's kind of done for disappointing. Those
looking for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people were really excited about her character because it was woman power. Awesome. In the 90s and early 2000s. So that's kind of nice.
Maybe more now.
Yeah.
Than then. That was probably looked over. And if it was a thing that was said, it wasn't as looked at now as we got it's now led by female. No issue. No problem with that. I love Rey. But it definitely plays into the time that we live in.
Keep your social justice warriors out of my Star Wars.
No, I fuck with Rey. Hell yeah. But so Anakin's really upset about that. And Palpatine knew that they would do that, and he knew that the council would reject him, giving him the option to go ask. He knew they'd reject him, and then the council asked Anakin to spy on Palpatine, and Palpatine also knew the council would ask him to do that. And then there's this whole thing about Anakin being worried about Padme dying because he's getting the same visions like he got of his mother before she died. So all these pieces are being moved in a way to manipulate Anakin, and I think Lucas did a brilliant job with this story.
Yeah, there's a lot of self-fulfilling prophecy in this movie, being your own downfall, essentially. And then bringing about the exact things that you didn't want to happen.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely all coming to a head in this movie, and I love that shit about Revenge of Sith. And I love the way that we get to see the Wookiee planet in this one, Mike.
Kashyyyk!
And Yoda hops on Chewie's shoulder in one spot, and that was awesome to me.
There's a lot of fan service when it comes to Yoda in this film.
Oh, yeah. CG Yoda in this film.
Old-ass Yoda.
But that was that's a really cool moment to see the Wookiees, to see Chewie. You're like, hey! It's an awesome moment. I'm glad we got to see again, because at the time we didn't know this we'll get another trilogy in 2005. And I remember my jaw just dropped when I saw Grievous, because now Ben Webby say what part how we got here in this scene. Anakin's back home, still dealing with whatever he got to deal with, and little Obi-Wan, Daddy Obi has to go. You know what I mean? Daddy Obi has to go.
But they have such a very heartwarming little bye. You know, it's very short. And it's very touching.
And almost foreshadowing in a way that this might be it.
Remember, they're at war. They're not fucking around. They're battling droids constantly. And he knows he's going to be... Exactly. So he's like, you got to treat everything like, hey, this is going to be the last time I see you. And Star Wars has such a great way of making like things not seem as grand as they are. Because... Uh-huh. Like, he's going to another planet, another fucking star system. Like, he's doing so much traveling. Like, we can't even get to the goddamn moon easy. And these motherfuckers are going across fucking solar systems. And it's like, oh, hey, you're going to a random solar system? Go find a fucking planet? Bye. Okay. No, dude, there's very chance he's going to die.
Yeah, no. And Obi-Wan's like, I left him alone for
fucking three
days, and this fucker's killing younglings. God damn it.
Oh, my God. But
on Obi-Wan's little journey to find Grievous, which is we learn in even the Clone Wars show. I don't think you need to watch source material. I've just watched Clone Wars a lot recently. You learn that they've been chasing Grievous for a while. So even watching the show, I'm like, oh, he's going to escape. Yeah. Just seeing every way Grievous escapes, it's kind of funny, too.
He don't give a shit, dude.
But this is the one where they get that motherfucker. But before that, I remember my jaw dropped when I saw Grievous pick up four lightsabers at once.
And
I was wondering, how would he get out there? Move. I was like, how is Obi-Wan going to do anything with that? You know what I mean?
And the fight is a very interesting fight. It's a very long. It is very, very long, and that was kind of nice. I think I see the little Yoda section that you're talking about. And then there's also the Darth Plagueis little move right there. Plagueis.
Yeah.
But I want to confirm that story. Is it true that Darth Plagueis was actually Senator Palpatine's teacher?
That Darth Plagueis is Senator Palpatine's teacher?
Why did I hear that?
I feel like Darth Plagueis is Senator Palpatine's teacher. I don't think so. Star Wars nerds, don't hate me.
I'm gonna check right out. Go ahead.
Away real fast, but no, that's a good question. I don't believe so, but it's a story that he knew, because when we get to that opera scene, that fantastic opera scene, he gives that backstory with it all. Because I do like that scene a lot.
Master of Darth Sidious.
Okay.
And that's where he gets the story. He became so powerful, he did lose his power eventually, and then the person he taught it to killed him eventually in the end. It's a very fucking dog-eat-dog world with the Sith.
No, it really is.
So if anybody didn't know that, Darth Plagueis is definitely the Lord.
We're about to talk about that scene right here, but I want to point out right now, that lightsaber fight with Grievous, really cool. He also did the two-finger Vegeta point when he's doing that little cool... swinging, looking really stylistic. He has his lightsaber. He does a little cool finger point at him, just like that. I'm like, dude, that's Vegeta's, bro, while watching. And then there's that bad close-up of Obi-Wan's eyes when he says, oh, I don't think so. Whatever Grievous shit-talking is. His reply is, oh, I don't think so. And I was like, why'd you do that? It was kind of badass till that. And I love how Obi-Wan... he's really good with the one-liners in this movie. I like how Obi-Wan shoots Grievous with the blaster and looks at the gun and says, so uncivilized.
But yeah, you fucking shot. Well, I guess, hey, Obi-Wan has been known to be a dog. He will fucking use anything by any means to fucking, I've been trained in the Jedi arts by Count Dooku. Nobody gives a shit, dude.
Hey, cool, bro. I'll
chop off your fucking third arm. Come here.
And... one thing about Obi-Wan, Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan, and that I mentioned before with Josh, I believe that this movie is a good, just Ewan McGregor's best as Obi-Wan. He's comfortable in it. He channels his Alec Guinness really well in this movie. You could tell him, even all the way up to the last shot frame with him when he's delivering Luke and Leia. From the last shot frame, I love how he looks. I love how he kind of moves like Alec Guinness. He uses just brief moments where he's even stroking his face and does little things like that, like Alec Guinness would do with his posture. I love that. This is the one where he channels it. This is the one that
solidifies. He's developing into the old man. He's going to be
into that. Yes. Yeah.
And that's why we still... Oh, we're going to get General Kenobi.
Yeah, and that's why we have him coming back on Disney Plus. Oh, it's going to be so fantastic. Good. He's good in all three of these movies. The prequels bought us Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's a fantastic.
I can't imagine anybody being him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's definitely our Obi-Wan.
You know what sucks? Because like I have watched some of like the Clone Wars on the series. I've watched very few of them, but Anakin is such a solidified character in there that you know, he looks like Hayden Christensen, and what's his name?
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. He looks like him in the show. And now I can't imagine Star Wars without him, unfortunately. But,
me either. Me either. At all.
I need my angsty teen white boy.
I do too, man. I do. But,
go ahead.
He is how I imagine angsty teen white boy to look like, too. But in the next scene, Anne McDermott as the Palpatine. Who's Palpatine? Who's once again, yeah, he's if I great. Say he does anybody in these movies,
she
fantastic Palpatine. Through all three, really great. That's why we have him coming back in Rise of Skywalker in some type of way or form or whatever the hell that's going to be.
He's a Force daddy. That's what we'll he is. See.
Ray's daddy. No, I don't know.
No, he's not. Ray is. Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares who her parents are? It don't matter.
Just to jump on that boat.
Nobody gave a shit.
Abrams is coming back to direct. I think he is going to tie up some loop to that.
Nobody cares.
And I'm okay Anakin's with that not were. Mattering.
Nobody cares who Obi-Wan's parents were. Ooh, we had this whole discussion.
That's a whole
nobody
different cares. Topic. I do. I'm with you with nobody cares. And it's nobody okay if it doesn't matter. Who Sheev's
parents are.
But it's too much to set up of importance from Force Awakens.
Your and parents were traitors. They traded you off. You. That's fucking perfect. Fuck your
that's cool. daddy.
You were an orphan. Who gives a shit about your mom and dad?
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait. We'll go on with this movie. You're right. I am with you, and I'm okay if they keep it that way. But I'm going to move on.
Motherfucker, I swear.
But, I remember. But Anne McDermott, dude, he's great through all these movies. Even for him. Good, big props for
especially
him.
Especially when he when right now what I have on the screen pulled up.
And that's
up.
Why he comes back in Rise of Skywalker. I'm really curious to see that. But he kills it in this one. And when he finally admits to Anakin that he knows the ways of his dark side.
Right there behind
it's
you.
It's a scene where he really does kill it.
Yeah, no, it's ominous. Him looking at it, you know, and then Anakin, of course, being a Jedi and, you know, fighting Sith Lords this whole fucking time.
Yeah,
and then fighting Darth Maul again, and through all of the series, I don't know if anybody else knows that, but yes, Darth Maul does make a reappearance in the series. His every instinct right now is screaming to him to take this man into custody, and he has such a silver tongue that he's like, "Hey, I can help you save your bitch."
Yeah, no.
Oh man.
Yeah, and when. He finally admits to Anakin that he knows the ways to the dark side. Basically, all the scenes with this psychology game that he plays with Anakin, basically all the scenes with Palpatine enticing Anakin to join his dark side are really, really good in this movie. I always say on and off again, again and again, that I love the opera scene that they have. The scene at the opera where he gives the backstory and the mythos is one of the best moments in any of the prequels and the Star Wars movies as a whole, to be honest. And the story of Darth Plagueis is interesting. It's a legend of a Sith who was able to save people he cared about who was eventually killed by his apprentice in his sleep. And it's a great scene with a lot of info that they throw out there, but it's really such a anonymous dark scene, you know, that's just this creepy feeling. And you're like, no, Anakin, get out of there. If you and, can, bro, get out of there.
And you see Anakin's, you know, like...
His interest.
And
it's such like,
a fucking kid, man.
And go, it's like, dude, no.
Go talk to your master. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, but exactly.
It's like he doesn't trust anybody but himself. And, like, for some reason, he trusts Sheev. Why? What's your fucking point? It's very frustrating to watch that scene over and over again, as I have.
Mm-hmm. And... because we're about to get a lot of greatness. And I want to say everybody, rather than like, rather they're doing a good job or not, or they look the part or not, Anakin looks amazing in this. I got to point that out just about Anakin and in general. I love the scar. His look is how in this whole movie, even with the long hair, it kind of flows with it. That's how you, for me, that's how you imagine a young Darth Vader to look like. You know what I mean? But yeah, to the next scene.
Which was definitely, what is the next scene?
That I have down. It's definitely, and then we're getting to the moment of He finds out this story. Anakin feels like he should say something. He lets Mace Windu know, A,
homeboy, you're
right. Homeboy isn't. You guys were right. He is. Something says up. You know, he's been at something for years. You guys are a little late to the party, but he's been planning something for years. You know, you guys should probably get on this. You know what I mean? Right under Yoda's fucking eye.
He's trying to, right? He knows the ways of the Force. He has been trained to use the dark side. Come on, man.
He's been trained to use the dark side. It's worse than our fears have been realized. Yeah, come on, bro.
And Anakin's doing right. He's got this.
Yes, because at that time, he hears him. And he knows what he wants, but he still wants to be. He's trying to be a Jedi. He's still trying to be a good man. He's trying to be a good person up to a point. The point is fairies for different people to when he turned, because we even had that debate. But before we get to that part, I love the silence between Anakin and Padme when they're looking across buildings at each other before he makes his ultimate decision. You know, there's a scene where it's just really silent. You see they're on one side, one's on the other, but you can feel that they know each other, are kind of looking at each other, or she knows something's wrong. He hasn't turned there yet. I think he's kind of made up his mind that he is going to do something that could definitely
he hasn't made a turn
result into bad right consequences for him.
He didn't get he didn't change until the Jedi was not following their rule anymore.
Yeah.
Simple as this. He's like, wait, this is, you guys have been showing me some very sketchy colors of yourselves as far as it goes in to be in the Jedi way. This is not the Jedi way. I shouldn't have killed Count Dooku. Hey, we're gonna take you prisoner. But then they don't actually take him prisoner. They try to fucking kill his ass. Mm-hmm. And then Anakin's just like, y'all aren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, because he even knows he knows what he's not supposed to do. Anakin is a grown man in his movie. He knows. He says it 1,000 times in the movie. He's almost like Kit Harington, and I don't want it. In this movie, Anakin's words are, "It's not the Jedi way. It's not the Jedi way."
And yet, like,
it's not the Jedi way.
But he's betrayed by both the Jedi Council and by Sheev. And in all reality, the only person who was ever really truly for him was Padme.
Yeah.
Who was trying to give him the outside opinion. I mean, even I'm going to put it out. Even Obi-Wan Kenobi was wrong.
Right.
To ask that of you to, for one, be a Jedi and then ask another Jedi to spy on the Senate, which is technically illegal, they would have found out that he was a dark. He was a Sith eventually anyway.
I get why they used him, though, because he's also, keep in mind that Anakin's powerful enough. I don't even think he's in training anymore.
He's not.
He's powerful enough to, because Bray's gone. He's powerful enough to take care of himself. It's a okay request to ask of him, because I think if he was in training, Obi-Wan would probably not accept it. But he's also, they realize that him and the counselor are really close. I would have probably done the same thing.
Yeah.
You're using a really emotional guy, and I really wish they hadn't, and they've been a little bit smarter not to use Anakin with them, knowing that this guy is a good,
he's already in.
You guys already worried about Anakin still, and you're using the wrong person to probably be around him, even though he's probably your only hope, and that's what they were hoping.
I really do love this fight between him and Mace Windu, though.
I got stuff to say about it. I'm about to get to that, but you're ahead of me. But and just to talk about the scene where Padme and Anakin are staring at each other one more time. I love when that one tear comes down his eyes. I always thought that was very powerful. It was perfect Star Wars moment. Honestly, it's that subtle moments that really worked there. So once Anakin tells Mace Windu that he believes that Palpatine is the Sith Lord they've been looking for, Mace Windu confronts Palpatine, and a fight ensues. And to me, it's kind of bad. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Look at this flip, dog. Look at this flip. I never realized they got Sheev doing flips and shit.
And they get up to this point where
that's great.
That flip looks so fake for him. But they do this point too, where their lightsabers kind of like hit, and they're at a standstill, and they're just staring each other down. And they do an up close of my nigga right here, Samuel Jackson. That's kind of just, I hate that look. it just looks like they gave him like his nose looks extra large. He does look like
right here. There you go.
Yeah, that. I'm like Jesus.
His eyes are bulging out of his head.
Are you guys about to? You guys undressing him with your eyes.
That's the oldest I've ever seen Samuel L. Jackson look. Was in that picture right there.
He looked like an animal. Like he's looking at him as someone like an animal, and it's like, ugh, like I don't get what's going on. And it's such a long time that it lies on it, and it's such an up close shot. And I'm just like, eh, okay. But Mace Windu confronts him. Fight ensues. Like I said, kind of bad, and most of it's due to Ann McDermott's lack of skill with lightsaber stunt work. Pretty much, because even the way he's kind of hunched and the way he moves, it looks like he's an older dude, so he's trying to keep up with Samuel Jackson, who's probably more fit to do stunt work like this. It just, you know what I mean? It just doesn't really work. It
wasn't
a fight
that he was ever supposed to win in all reality, though, but it's surprising.
And he's doing,
it's surprisingly, like, gross looking how he takes out the first three Jedi that came with Mace Windu. I can't believe they went down the way they did.
Yeah.
That fight could have been so much better had they been actual players inside there, because the third one, the one with the long, extensions on their head. I don't get it, man. I know what you mean. You guys had an opportunity for a fucking beautiful fight.
Yes.
And that was a very, so the fight between Mace Windu and Sheev is not bad, personally.
Right.
But the fight between four Jedi and a Sith Lord should have been so much better. I was very disappointed by that. How do you take down two Jedi in 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I get it, you're a Sith Lord, but I feel like you need to be a lot flashier about it than that.
But yeah, and it's, where was I? Oh yeah, he's doing all these weird faces too, if you notice. It's cool. But it's just an awkward fight to watch to me. He's doing all these weird faces, like he's taking a very difficult shit, bro. That isn't out yet. I've looked like him. His face when he fights is the face I've had so many times this year having difficult shits, man. Like, there's just the whole, like, eh. I even think he makes a sound effect while he fights at one point. It might be with Yoda, where he just goes, eh. And I'm just like, yep, I made that voice as soon as I got that difficult shit out, man.
I love looking at, like, Sheev during this ending sequence with Mace Windu. You're about to bring it up on your notes, I'm assuming.
Had plenty of turtle heads. What's up?
No, you will die.
Oh, it's coming up, yes. But it's more of an observation with that scene. And he's just kind of stabbing, like, what the hell are you doing? You could tell they're trying really hard. Also, when you watch that fight, you can tell they're trying really hard to try to edit his head, because it's a stunt guy, clearly. But Palpatine is shooting lightning, and Anakin is like, I need him! He's like, no, I need him! And then, Windu's like, look into yourself, Anakin, he's not good! and his Samuel Jackson voice, he ain't gonna take you to the light side! You know what I mean? He's basically saying, look into the light side. Black side, too. But, Palpatine's shooting lightning. Anakin is like, I need him. Cuts off Windu's hand, and he gets shot out the window.
Spoilers.
I guess this is spoilers. Shut this up. Is all spoilers for the whole Star Wars beautiful scene, saga, though. By the way, because we talk a lot about it. I need to almost add that in. I feel like, but he gets shot out the window, and then Anakin just goes like, "I pledge myself to your teachings." He's like, "What did I do?" I like how he says it, like he's wiped out. I've had that moment too. That's a good meme. Like, what the fuck did I done? I understand him wanting to give in, but it seems a little bit, just seems abrupt sometimes. And I get what people mean. I don't really care so much, but to give him props, it does seem a little abrupt that he's already like, I pledge myself to your teachings, and like I said, I understand why. Just a bit abrupt and how extreme he goes about it after this, but cool. That's my moment where I really feel like he's made his decision. Once he cut off Windu's arm, he was stuck where he was. He's not going to do anything he can, because he just made another big fuck no. Like, it's done. His fate is sealed. Might as well see what's going on with Palpatine. But like I said, Palpatine doesn't really seem really shocked that it's all this is abrupt. And with Palpatine's face, us as fans, we expected that. But him at that moment, I would have been like, holy crap, my face is fucked. He's kind of just chill. Like, yep, that's my face. Moving on. And I guess there's more important things to play anyway. But him as a character at that moment should have been shocked when he realized his face is a monster.
Yeah.
To me. And
well, that was due to the blast of lightning.
The lightning hitting his face. I was like, yeah, you haven't looked at yourself after that? Before we move on, I'm just saying.
He looks like he has an ass crack on his forehead. Mm-hmm. He's terrifying.
And just to go back to I'm going to go back a lot, maybe, just for things I remember. The scene, and this is something I just learned. The scene where Obi-Wan's looking for Grievous, and there's other people coming after him. Like, before he kills Grievous, there's a scene where he uses the Force. Something comes down on all the droids running in, or whatever. I don't know if you remember that. It's a quick move he does to get rid of, like, there's six of them or something. It's a quick... kill them quick move.
Are you talking about which fight again?
This is Obi-Wan. I'm going back to Obi-Wan.
Yeah, no, he gets rid of three of the droids that really do give Jedi's trouble, which is the ones with the double baton. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the actual class of their name is. And he just drops that fucking huge counterweight on top of them and destroys all three of them like that.
Right. And about that scene, I just read something a couple days ago that scene is probably in the 4-hour cut. So, release the Lucas cut, I guess. But he was supposed to take on, like, six of them or something like that. And it was a lightsaber battle that Ewan McGregor worked really hard on. And he trained a lot. Oh, and it was going to be a really cool moment. And for a time restraint, and because the movie was already getting running too long, and it didn't really necessarily play into... what was going moving the story forward, and they were short on time because they were running behind on the shoot, I guess. Also, they had to cut that out, and they just moved it to him just putting using the Force,
dropping
that thing on them.
That's upsetting. I don't like that decision. That would have been a great fucking fight. There needed to be more fights.
Yeah, I would have loved to see that. That sounds like a good moment. Yeah. I would have loved to see the fight. Release Lucas cut and the Snyder, I guess.
But, yeah, you're right. It's quite a bit of them. No, it is four. So, yeah, I see four of them there, right there. But that would have been a fucking beautiful fight. Ewan would have...
And this is probably the most action-packed out of all the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of fun stuff happening in here. Yeah, and I love how that one gets almost crushed. He was supposed to fight
all of them.
Yeah, that should have happened. That's a bad decision in my opinion.
But we get to the next scene after he turns, and little Anakin turns now, and the next scene is Order 66. It's a popular scene. Everybody that knows anything about Star Wars knows Order 66. It's done even really well if you've played Fallen Order.
Yes, it is.
It's done really well there, too.
I love looking at the rest of the lore surrounding Order 66, because if you watch...
Seen it in other people's perspective.
Oh my god, it's so sad, and especially if you learn about the characters that are surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
So spoilers for anybody who doesn't, just really, because this is a brand new video game, Fallen Order. It just came out, and you're playing as Cal Kestis, and you end up seeing the whole Execute Order 66 scenes from the youngling side, right. And it's such an emotional moment. Him seeing his master get killed, mm-hmm. and everything else like that, and you realize that every Jedi feels this right before it happens.
Right.
Oh shit, shit's going down. People are dying, right. And you see every Jedi just like, oh, they hold their chest, and that's such a good read up into the Force.
It's an emotional scene. Like, it's heavy, and I love how well it's done in the movie. It's carried, so Order 66 is carried out, and the clone troopers turn on everybody. Dude, everybody's turning on everyone. It's just a moment. Everybody stops what they're doing. It's almost like a theme song in like the Family Matters theme, where they're working on something, they stop and smile. They could have made a theme song moment out of the whole Order 66 thing.
Right here. Look at this. That scene where
Anakin's walking up with
all kinds of clone troopers behind him.
Yes,
that is and has a the hooded beautiful cloak. Scene. Oh, look at him! He looks so
and,
badass.
And that's what I mean. That's how I expect a young Darth Vader to look like. That's where the look, the costume designs, it all matched. It all came together really well. Like I said, this is the one where I feel like Lucas put his all in his heart, and this was the ultimate.
This was the culmination of fucking two, in all reality, five movies at this point.
Yeah.
So it needed to come out good, and thankfully, I'm sure he got a ton of backlash for Attack of the Clones, where people were like, "Oh, I loved it," and then they really found out they didn't love it as much. Mm-hmm. My favorite character, the lizard on the planet with the safety planet. I can't remember what it's called. The one before Moldolga or something.
But all the clone troopers turn on him, and then the Jedi and all the other good guys. It's extremely effective when they turn on all these people.
Right.
And I like how the camera pans down to the... When they take out one guy, I don't know who he is, but I always see him with the Council of Dick Jedis out there. he's one of the guys who's a part of the council. But I still felt emotional. Like, I don't know these guys. They don't have a big scene in the movie, but seeing them get just taken out, it's like, oh...
Dude, no.
I'm going to miss you guys being assholes. Like, bam, you guys are gone now.
This fucking movie is so fucking sad. Because nobody who really watched these, I believe Clone Wars came out after this. Mm-hmm. So they had time to develop the story. Well, all of these people, all these characters, these clones, they're fucking, they have personalities. They're real people. Like, they're not just clones of what was his name? Something
clones
Fett.
Clones of Jango.
Yeah, Jango Fett. They're real. They have personalities. They're all different. They all have different styles, and you learn that in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And they're best friends with these Jedi. Mm-hmm. Like they're comrades. They're commander and soldier who have been fighting for years in a Clone Wars, and in the heat of battle, they've developed a bond. And then for them to just be ingrained where they have an execute Order 66 to where they could just drop Jedis like that, that they've been friends with. Like, Commander Cody and Obi-Wan are, like, fucking friends.
Yeah.
Friends. Like, so I don't know how they didn't play emotions better for the stormtroopers. Like, they're just, nah. Okay, bye. You dead.
You're gone now. I don't know what to say.
Commander
Cody,
Order 66.
And I like how the... But for that one dude's death, the camera pans down. Wish I got the dude's name, but I like how the camera pans down to the trooper's boots, and they just stop following the Jedi, and he looks back like, what you niggas doing? And it's a great moment, and it's really sad, and you see all these people dying, and I love how they took their voices screaming and echoed them.
All across the Force.
Yeah, like it was some sort of fantasy.
Here you go. You got this scene right here, and it's just
this guy.
The one who's battling on Kashyyyk, and the droids are attacking. Oh, beautiful scene. This one's actually rough looking. And then they just drop. They stop,
just
dude.
That pan and just,
weapons cocking and just.
That's great camera work right there.
Yeah. Oh, man. And he takes him out, dude.
Yeah, he goes out fighting. Peace.
So fucking sad.
He's like, I'm out the prequels. But it's a great moment, and it's really sad. And you see all these people dying, and I love how they look. How they took their voices, screaming, echoed it throughout. All this under John Williams' fantastic, sorrowful score, dude. I feel like this John Williams score booms, and it adds to... it's just as important when you... That's why you get the John Williams score when you play Fallen Order again, just to resonate over Fallen Order during that scene. It's such a good moment.
There's so many fucked up scenes during this whole run of shit going on. Now, Marcel, I'm going to show you this one. This is so disappointing to see a powerful... woman Jedi. So, you know, this is in the midst of Order 66. Go ahead and take a look behind you. And, like, right here where they just, I don't know.
I thought that was Ahsoka or something like that.
Ahsoka,
when if you guys watched Clone Wars, I thought that was her. And I'm like, nah, that's not her.
This bitch just gets dropped. Like, she didn't have a choice or nothing. Just gone. And, it's so disgusting. Geez. It's so hard to look at. Look at Yoda. He's just reacting like, fuck. This isn't good, guys.
It.
This isn't good. Something happening. Vocalizing ends. Yeah.
The caption.
Oh my god, it's so sad. Just so much loss of life in this fucking beautiful film.
Yeah, it's a great, moment, and just a great emotional moment. Like, damn, you would think that watching something of this scale, the other two were just brilliant movies, huh? But no. But like I said, honestly, you could just watch this one. Skip that other two. You don't have to watch it. The watchable movie here. But like I said, we skipped from Order 66. Go back to Anakin. We have that nigga killing little nigglets. Just kidding. Younglings.
Terrible.
I mean the younglings.
Terrible.
But probably started off with the cutesy one that was like that
I think it's like a form of Anakin killing his child. No, I'm
being
mean.
He probably started off. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just being a dick. He probably started off with the cutesy one that was like, Master Skywalker, there's so many of them. What do we do? He probably fucked that dude out. No, I'm sorry. This is also the first time in an entire prequel saga that Yoda shows any emotion. He's pissed. If you ask me,
Fucking pissed.
He's pissed.
He cuts off those stormtroopers' heads.
Yeah.
Just in a swift motion and a backflip.
That was really cool.
And then look at his face. He's just fucking mad, dude. He's fucking ready to get some.
Yes.
Dude, he's ready to kill some motherfuckers. I feel
like we see the most emotion. Yoda's doing shit. He's not just sitting there like,
He's on
a table of consoles. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Shit happens. In this movie, man.
The Jedi Temple's just being destroyed. The younglings are hiding.
It's on fire.
So, that's one thing I wanted to bring up to you. Looking at when he walks into there. I mean, the kid doesn't look exactly like him. You can take a look right behind you. The child actor.
Yeah, that's the first one to die. Look
so
all cute as shit.
I think it's like a form of...
There are too many of them.
I think it's like a form of Anakin killing himself.
Yeah.
His kid self. His one who, like... I'm going to do good for this world, and yeah. I'm going to make sure that the, you know, people are not enslaved like I was, and basically killing the child and himself.
Yeah. And started off with the kid looking at him that kind of looks like him as a little dude.
Yeah. And this is him killing himself. It's so sad.
He's just waiting for an answer.
Can you imagine just like looking up to somebody like that and just.
That'd be funny if they all took him out, though. I'm pretty sure they gave him a fight, but
they
be
were
funny.
Friends. Like they were friends. Dude.
They're gremlin
friends,
attacked him,
man. That's like Aang's master killing him.
Yeah.
Like what? No.
I never played the video game. I think Calvin mentioned that in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, the video game,
you get to kill kids.
You kill the kids. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know how that looks. I gotta look up the gameplay of it or something. But you kill the kids. That's a level. That's a mission? Not even Grand Theft Auto has kids in it, if you realize. So none of them are getting shot. But I was like, you have to kill the kids? Is it graphic?
Revenge of the Sith. You kill the younglings.
I didn't kill the younglings. I was like, you actually get to do it.
Not the younglings.
Are they hard? I'm kind of curious. Like, I've never played it.
Hold up. Hopefully this sounds off on this
level.
Yeah.
People... We gotta watch. Give us 2 seconds. On the PS2 or whatever, if you remember.
Oh, dude, you're walking in. Shit.
The Revenge of the Sith video
game.
But
look, they put helmets on them to make you not feel like a piece of shit.
Oh, fuck that, dude. They're just midgets, guys.
Oh, look at him, No. Oh my god, the face.
Oh, they have a little brother back.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, god.
What do they do to Hayden Christensen?
A 5 o'clock shadow. It's been a long day of killing.
He's got a big old nose on him, too. Oh my god, dude.
Oh wow.
Yes.
Let's see how bad it gets. They're not even fighting back. When did they fight? Or is he trying to kill him? Can he get to him? Oh no, okay. It was like a glitch.
Look at him, they whip out the little pink lightsaber back there.
Oh,
he is demolishing them.
Oh, that's horrible.
This is bad.
What was this guy rated T for
teen? Hey, right after, so PG-13, you're allowed to add one
bodies.
Fuck inside a PG-13 movie, right? And he's just like, fuck them kids. Cut him in half. Oh, he cut him in half.
I fell fucking in half.
Shit. Oh, fuck them kids,
that's
bro.
Some balls.
Oh, that's great. That's a... Hey, this
Jurassic Park.
Hey, this
look
is a,
at this. When
this
you make your
Disney
next
game.
Video game.
It's a Disney game.
It's a Disney game now. Jurassic Park. Because I think I always give Jurassic Park the pussy card for not being able to kill off their kids. But damn, Star Wars.
Fucked them right the fuck up. Thank you, Star Wars, for that. Not the young.
Nah, I kind of want to play that part.
Yeah.
That was nuts. Where was I lost my beard. But
I'm just baffled. I can't believe they put that in a video game.
But that's
as controversial as the scene where you destroy that airport.
Yeah, it's like Grand Theft Auto. I haven't even gone here yet. Like, damn.
You did some fucked up shit in Grand Theft Auto, though. Let's be real.
Yeah, he's like, you have enough fucked up shit. Shot a prostitute there. And it's crazy how that game looks just like modern LA.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. Like, you could be like, I burned that thing down the other day. Fucked the prostitute right in the back of there. Shot her after. You know
got
what I mean?
My money back, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good.
Sped down here the other day. But back to where we
did some cocaine.
Some cocaine right there on Edge Boulevard. Feel like you really live the life out there when you go there. Like, I walked these streets already. But also, this is the first time, like I said, first time in the entire prequel series that you see Yoda show any emotion. Like that scene you showed before that. And when he says goodbye to Chewbacca and he's like, yeah, miss you, I will. And
it was very emotional.
Yeah, that was a good scene. It was like, oh, man.
It's definitely lots of emotions playing in this movie, and it's underwhelming. But go ahead.
And then we finally get John. I'm sorry, still thinking about those kids. They should give those kids a whole Armageddon wedding, funeral. Just have their pictures there, the little Jedi thing. Oh, but yeah, then we finally get John Williams's. We get John Williams' Yoda score in that scene where he says goodbye to Chewbacca, the whole do-do-do-do that they introduce in Empire Strike Back. Yeah. Which I also want to use as the intro music in Empire when we start. But they bring that into the prequel series for the first time, and it's really cool to hear the sounds because we know where Yoda's eventual destination is going to be. Mm-hmm. Not quite yet, but we know where he's going to land at. But yeah, his John Williams' score is full of emotion. It's really emotional to get to see that scene. It's really powerful. And then also in that light, it's also really powerful to see Anakin doing all these dark deeds. Like, right after he kills the children, his eyes are changing colors. That's a really cool add-on. I love the eye color change. Fuck the Twilight eyes. Those eyes were really badass, where he just, after he's done just slicing people right and left, he turns, looks at the screens, has these, like, Damien from the Omen eyes going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's assassinating people left and right. I just think that Obi-Wan's realization when he gets back and he tells Padme and he's all emotional, he's like, he killed younglings. Yeah, I just feel like Obi-Wan's realization isn't shocking quite enough. Like, he didn't have a realization. And the Lucas dialogue when he's telling Padme when he's done is just, it's like, good old Lucas dialogue. Just count on it. You know what I mean? I just wish it was lit more like, shit, I didn't see this coming. I guess it is what it is, but I guess that's when you get into the emotions of a Jedi and how emotional he can be. But yeah, watching these prequels again and knowing about the changes they made to the original, Lucas has always had a tough time. I feel like talking about him and his emotions and saying that, with his dialogue, and I probably said it before, and if I haven't told it to you, I'll mention it right now. Lucas has always had a trouble conveying people's emotions, so he feels the need that he has to have these characters say them out loud. Mm-hmm. When instead of putting it within his characters,
yeah, leave or the emotions showing it
through his characters without them having to say what they feel. We just have
Padme saying, I'm afraid. Well, no, we could see it in your face because you're a very well-acted person. And yeah, she's actually like showing emotions like, I'm afraid. You don't have to say it.
Yeah. Or when Padme, before when we get to that scene that's going to come up, when Padme's saying, Anakin, you're breaking my heart. I get it. I didn't really need you to say it. Or he loves when people scream no. We all get that. Even though you don't have to say no. He's
no,
went back.
No, no, you will die.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. I like, what? Even to talk about Return of the Jedi real quick, we don't need before something that Vader does to Palpatine, we don't need him to go back to change Return of the Jedi so Vader yells no. The power of that scene is to watch Vader make the decision and move his head left, right, and looking at them. That's just an example that I could take from those, but it's never been really good. Excuse me, guys, if you hear that. But It seems to say what they're feeling because you can never actually convey emotion without saying it. That's what he struggles with in his writing. He doesn't think people will understand what he's trying to get across unless they say it directly to the audience. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, trust your audience a bit more.
Trust your actors.
Because it's coming out, trust your actors, trust your audience, trust who you have, because it's going to sound, it sounds cornier, trust me, than how you're envisioning it than what it looks like on screen.
So watching these scenes when we're seeing, Yoda discuss things with Obi-Wan and how, the betrayal of the Senate.
Yeah.
I'm loving how they bring in the ships that are from Alderaan.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Leia's future home, where they're showing the old insides of, the original sequel
right.
Movies. And you see the pure pasty white shit mm-hmm. with the old soldiers, and look at the screen right here with the red panels and the black panels and stuff like that. Right. It's really cool. It's just a cool callback. It's the look.
Yeah, I do love that. It's and it's subtle. It's not thrown in your face. This feels like Star Wars. Honestly.
Very bright. Very bright. Yes. Though. It's like ooh,
okay. I love when they go back. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that. That's a. Yeah, it's very bright.
But it makes the CGI Yoda updated look.
Yeah, it makes yes. When you throw CGI Yoda on a bright screen, the original settings and original set pieces.
You could have used the puppet. For these scenes. Puppet Yoda. Come on, and Puppet Yoda was dope. You could have made it so much better now. Simple as that.
Exactly.
But it's frustrating. But
what can then the big finale happens. But before we get to the big finale of this happening, because honestly, I believe the rest of this movie could be pure awesomeness. It's pure gold, almost. Because he will pull you out, and you remember this is a Star Wars prequel in a fucking heartbeat. But maybe it's something that looks bad visually. Maybe it's dialogue. And there's something that's really, it's something I've been pissed off at since I saw this movie. But we'll get there. Because most of this, the rest of the movie is great. Mm-hmm. But no. But we'll talk about it right now. We are at the last, probably this is getting up to the last 30 minutes, 35, maybe.
48, including run.
And I'm going up to the scene where Obi-Wan's about to, Padme's about to catch up with Anakin. Obi-Wan sneaks on the ship to go confront him. And before that, Obi-Wan and Anakin fight. Some of Hayden Christensen's lines are atrocious, and the delivery is horrible. And you get Padme come off the ship, and she's like, "Anakin, look what you're doing! You're breaking my heart!" And he's like, "We can rule the galaxy. We can do it, you and I. We can take over the galaxy. Blah 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 blah, and all this good stuff. You know what I mean?" And then Padme's not really rocking with it. She's not rolling with it. She's like, "Ah."
I know you're doing bad. Because everybody knows you're doing bad except for you. You believe what you're doing is right.
Yeah, he believes what he's doing is right.
And you're fulfilling the prophecy of mm-hmm. you're killing your loved ones. Exactly. And you're thinking you're trying to save them, but you're not. You're not.
He's like, "With my new powers, I can do this and I can do that." And it's like, okay.
You can't do shit.
And his lines get worse. He's like, if you're not with me, then you're my enemy. And then just Obi-Wan comes off after he chokes her, and she drops really dramatically. and then he looks at Obi-Wan, and he's like, "You turned her against me!" And he's like, and then Obi-Wan does this thing where he puts his hands on his hips, and he's like, "You did that yourself!" it's definitely like a couple fighting. It's just the lines delivered before this epic fight.
And then, yeah, really Lord bad. Vader.
Oh, they brought back the Asians. I forgot.
They actually don't have an Asian accent in this movie.
Oh, they don't have an Asian accent in this movie?
Well, one of them doesn't.
I don't even think I thought they just never made him talk this time.
No, they did talk. So did. I was watching it earlier when I was trying to take a nap. And, Oh, look at Yoda just going in.
To go back a little bit before we get to the finale more so. What we were just talking about, if you guys remember the ones that were, it's the Jedi Knights. From Phantom Menace, man, Anakin kills them. I just remember seeing that, and I was like, hell yes! Kill the past. I was like, okay, I can fuck with it there. Like I said, Hayden Christensen's lines are horrible. You're not with me, then you're my enemy. And you will not take her from me. It's like the last time you get to hear him whine to the whiniest of the whines.
The wine degrees.
It's like, get your whining out, because it's the last time you're going to see Hayden Christensen and Hayden Christensen form bitching, and probably for the rest of the movie. And I'm okay with it. It's like, oh my God, just, I would have thrown a lightsaber at that moment. Oh, shut up.
There's all the dead younglings.
But then the big finale happens where Anakin and Obi-Wan are finally dueling on Mustafar. The lava planet, and let me talk about before I get there. And there was this big talk I'm gonna backtrack from the fight one more time, and we talked about it too. I didn't write it in my notes, but I remember it was something I realized, and I'm remembering it right now. When we were watching, I brought up a point, and in just watching Return of the Jedi and fucking Empire Strikes Back, watching those, I mostly Return of the Jedi, definitely Return of the Jedi, I realize I still don't get what is Obi-Wan's intention when he's going to Mustafar to confront Anakin, because I would believe in a normal, natural sense of the Jedi way, you would at least try to turn mm-hmm. Anakin back. You would at least try to give him a chance, because we get A New Hope where he officially tells his son, Luke, that, your father, he's now a machine, now the man, and blah, blah, blah. And he tells a story about how he turned and all this stuff. And I don't remember if Luke mentioned, well, did you, I don't believe he did, but I would have been at least, did you at least try to turn him?
Yeah.
Did you at least go there and try to help out in trying to convince Anakin off the ledge?
Mm-hmm.
But with this movie, I'm not sure if he just skipped to, yep, nope, I'm not going to get anything out of him. He's far gone. I have to take care of this, nip it in the bud. I have to go kill him. Did he go there on that planet? And that's what it looks like. He went there with the intentions of he's going to do what he's got to do. I do believe so, but I feel like he knows he's going to kill him. Even while talking to Padme, it sounds like he's made up his mind, because I do believe Padme's all like, you're going to kill him, aren't you? Or something like that. And Obi-Wan looks at Padme and he's like, well, he has become a really big, really great threat. And I'm just like, well, you can at least try, because at least in the original ones, Mike, Luke I don't think he had intention of killing Vader. He was going to at least try. If it had to go that way, it would, where Obi-Wan looked like he made up his mind. I'm going to go on that planet. I'm going to finish him.
No, it's not. It's not seeing that. It seemed like he's talking. So he does drop the coat relatively quickly, but I feel like he's in a lot of danger.
I just feel like you didn't. I know. It's like
you got to realize he's trained this kid. Like, he knows what he's capable of. And the fact that he was willing to kill the person he loved the most, the reason why he joined the dark side, which is Padme. That's the whole reason.
We'll go back to that. Sure, he killed her. It would have been better if he had been
force choking her.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if he's willing to kill her that way, I mean, what do you think he's going to do for his old master?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was just trying to remind Padme who's the man of the house. He wasn't going to hurt. He was just a little tap on the throat. I'm just kidding. But you're right. That with those intentions, he knows he has to be the way he is. I just wonder what his mindset was going to that planet. He was trying to talk to his friend.
He's trying to talk to him.
I see it. He wants to see what the threat is. But Luke seemed like he had more patience. He tried. He actually did try more so. But this one, it seems like I'm going to go kill him.
He's regretting this. You can see it. Ewan McGregor does a really good job. See, only a Sith that deals in absolutes.
Exactly. He says that line, and he says, Anakin says something else, and he says, I will do what I must. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Anakin goes, you will try. And I'm just rolling my eyes. But that's when we get a really cool scene.
Why are you going to do a backflip?
There we go. Oh, this movie's all about backflips and barrel rolls, man. Yoda does the barrel rolls. Everyone else does the flips. And we, like I said, then the big finale happens where Anakin and Obi-Wan are finally dueling on Mustafar, the lava planet. Yoda and Palpatine are as well. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. This is fucking
beautiful.
And it's a beautiful sequence. It's it looks like a dance, because it is a dance. They are dancing. Yoda just dropped the motherfucker. You know something about the Obi-Wan and Anakin scene? As much as I love it, as much as it's an awesome sequence, as much as you have the kick-ass John Williams score in the background of the Battle of Heroes theme, which is fantastic. Like I said, all three of these movies had a theme that just was the theme of this movie, like the score of this movie. This one was definitely the Battle of Heroes theme. And I love when Yoda walks in, by the way, and he just kind of casually strolls in.
Just drops
Palpatine. Drops two guards. Just they hit the wall, and he's like, ah. And then they do the kind of cartoony thing where he opens his eyes, where Palpatine knocks him down and he looks up and he opens his eyes. But it was a cool wink, like, yeah, we're about to see some shit. But
Palpatine looks scary.
Like I said, the Obi-Wan and Anakin fight, it's really cool. I love the dance. I know some people don't like it because it looks incredibly choreographed. Guess what? You're right. It does look incredibly choreographed. You're super right. And I guess
it's fucking cool, though. I mean, it's really cool
to me. And I think it's incredible over the Battle of the Fates score, man. And if you...
I'm going to watch Battle of Heroes,
one of those. And if you do want to fight it, I get that the intensity that in Empire Strikes Back, it's not there. because you could tell they're executing all of their moves perfectly as they were told to. And I could tell if you wanted more dialogue and suspense, like such things in Empire Strikes Back and all that, between all the fencing. But the dialogue we get near the end of the fight, I believe, is good enough. I believe it's emotional enough. It's choreographed enough where you tell, yeah, they're doing... It just looks incredible. I know. I get if you want to make little nitpicks, but that's what I look at it as nitpicks. Even me saying it, I'll give you the card that it looks choreographed, and it does look like a dance, but I also think that's what's beautiful of the scene, too. It's a beautiful dance between these two people that were best friends. This is the ultimate fallout, you know what I mean? It's the moment we've been waiting for, and I think for the most part, it delivers on it. And they even have a cool little scene where it's so choreographed, Mike, that they have a scene where they're basically swinging together, you know, with their lightsaber and just swinging. They're not even hitting each other. They're just kind of just swinging it, and it looks, not only does it look cool and stylish, but you could also take in, Josh brought up the point that you could take in the point that it's, they just know each other's moves so well that every move that they're
countering in their own head. Yeah, that's you know how chess goes. You're already thinking 10 moves ahead, and that's exactly what they have to do. But I feel like a reason why Obi-Wan ends up ultimately winning the fight is because he's a lot dirtier than Anakin. He's like, I'm gonna fuck you up, motherfucker. But the Shi fight versus Yoda is fucking.
Oh yeah, Emperor versus Yoda fight. I fuck with this one way more than the Dooku fight. I like it a lot better than the Dooku scene. It's better looking, at least how they got the CG first Yoda to do these fights. Yeah, he's still doing little cool barrel rolls, but I love the add-ons of Palpatine tossing shit at him and Yoda just bouncing on one, back to the other, you know, avoiding getting hit by these things. And it's a better fight going on than Dooku. And then you also get, between that, you'll get the takes of Anakin and Obi-Wan.
This one right here is fucking beautiful. I love when they get in that corridor right here. Yes. And they just end up like going ham on each other. Watch, you see it. Look, it's awesome. I'm sorry, but there's grapples there. Yes. And look right here. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful shit there. And they're hitting the corners of the fucking ship. Oh, it's really cool.
And there's so much love put into this fight scene, man. Like, you could tell that in... I remember watching the making of it as when I was younger. And I was watching the making of that whole fight sequence. And they busted their ass trying to learn it, dude. Like, this looks like the one where they gave their all. The actors gave their all. At least, maybe doing the best with the dialogue and the acting. But to the choreography, they...
Anakin.
Props. It looks good.
look at Anakin's face in this next scene. Oh my god, he is choking a motherfucker out. Yes. He chokes Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I love how it cuts from the Palpatine scene and just goes straight to him putting his hand on his neck abruptly. He's about to
just drop his master, just chop his fucking dome off.
But Obi-Wan, and there's some cool flips and moves.
This was not a well shot scene. I'm sorry. Look at this. Look at this. Okay, we were watching this, by the way, and you see he get dropped. And he does a barrel. And look at that dumb kick. That was a dumb kick.
Does he do it again?
Full on.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
And Obi-Wan gets his kick.
And gets like, that was bad. Those two were badly done, in my opinion.
I agree with you there. There's a lot. I think it goes into the choreographed argument too, because that's why people think it looks too choreographed. If it looks bad, there's little moments where you can tell it looks choreographed and it could stand out as kind of bad. But
yeah,
through all the goodness going on and all the jumping through the on top of things through the lava and Mustafar, it's pretty cool. And then the music comes up and you get the Phantom Menace Battle of the Fates theme coming in, and it's Tova, that shit's back, and it feels and you feel the epicness of it. You know what I mean?
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
Right there, where they're not even hitting each other. I just seen it.
And Obi-Wan's in defense a lot of this whole fight, too. He's trying, while Anakin's trying to get him. You can tell Obi-Wan's on the defensive a lot, too. It's definitely Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Where Superman was clearly on the offensive in Batman 1. Not Batman 1. Superman won that fight, too. But back to this. Toward the end of the fight, Obi-Wan does get the high ground, and the emotion can fade, and Obi-Wan is great, just how he breaks, and he's like, you are my brother, Anakin.
It's crazy how powerful. You were supposed
to destroy the Sith, not join them, bring balance to the Force, not darkness, you know what I mean?
It's crazy how powerful Obi-Wan is, because Darth Vader, have you finished the Fallen Order yet?
No.
Okay, then I'm not going to say
but, nah, I know Vader's in it. I'm sorry if you guys didn't know we have Vader's in
so
it.
So you've watched...
Stupid YouTube thumbnails. I don't know what goes on in that
what's
part.
What's that movie?
I just know
the one with the rebels and they steal the codes for the... Or
Rogue
steal
One.
The code. Rogue One, thank you. That Darth Vader.
Uh-huh.
That Darth Vader, I feel, would fucking destroy Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. But yet, right now, Anakin's technically more powerful than him.
Right.
And then he's facing off against Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan is, yeah, he is on the defensive. He's taking a lot of hits. In all reality, if this was a fight based off points,
yeah,
Anakin would have won.
Right.
But, of course, at the end of the day, it's all about who goes down.
Exactly.
Obi-Wan is fucking kicking it.
Yeah. And he told his own against the most powerful Jedi. Don't do that flip. And then Josh brought up something that Calvin probably brought up that he was just a study. He did the same move that, or it could be taught. He did the same move from Obi-Wan
yeah.
Phantom Menace. And that, I guess, Anakin, that was a move he was studying also. And
yeah.
Of course, Obi-Wan knows that. He will deflect that. So it was his smart move.
He's like, I made that shit.
I made that shit, son.
I'm the only one to ever win from the low ground.
Come at me like that again, son. But the emotion that scene where he's like, you are my brother. It hurts. He's like, I love you like a brother. And it's a powerful scene. It also makes me wonder, is that like Obi-Wan breaking the rules that we set in episode 2, George Lucas, who spent the whole entire years figuring out what Jedi can and can't do, because Obi-Wan just said he loved them. I thought Jedi aren't allowed to love, so are we not allowed to love in the...
It's one of those things where...
You guys can't fuck type of nature, or you guys are allowed to love, but you guys aren't allowed to love. Like, what's the common ground there? But maybe
love
I'm
can
being
be a weird
picky.
Thing. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you actually truly like. Oh, no. And I feel like the Jedi rules, yes, are they very important?
Made up and shouldn't be
as strict as they are. They're not as strict as they are otherwise.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's going to trust a fucking teenage kid around a fucking beautiful princess? Come, what kind of dumb shit is that?
Apparently.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. That's straight up stupid. That's not a thing.
But I'm just wondering, George.
You don't put
I'm
a monk
saying,
in front of a
you.
Prostitute. Like.
But that could also make it stronger.
She's
by
not a prostitute.
Obi-Wan. It also breaking that rule of saying he loves Anakin. That's him breaking the Jedi rule and him saying, I loved you.
Yeah.
You're my brother, Anakin. You know what I mean? Qui-Gon would be disappointed. Qui-Gon's out there like, fuck.
Hello, I don't want to interrupt your thought right there, but look at this comedic scene right here. This little robot pulls up, and then he's like, I'm out.
Oh, yeah, there's little things like that the whole time. Even when they're in the lava, and there's a scene where they're kind of just looking at each other,
yeah.
But they cross, there's like people in the middle of the lava thing on the rock, and they're kind of just looking at them.
Like, what the fuck?
Come by their
here?
Area, and they're like, what the hell's going on here?
Who invited Jedi?
Like, where did the Jedi come from?
Why are y'all mad? You know, this is impractical where they're fighting right now, because they're fighting in the middle of a volcano planet, which mm-hmm. is crazy that
are.
There's
yeah.
a volcano planet, which technically all planets are volcano
planets.
Yeah,
we had a planet made of water in Attack of the Clones, and I think that was a pretty cool sequence.
It's just one of those things.
The lava looks really CG here. I think it's a cool-looking planet. I can just tell it's very CG,
no,
but lava looks CG
But the beautiful thing about that, they actually took footage of a volcano.
Oh,
of an
really?
Active volcano and put that in the background. That's actually what it is. It's
oh,
fucking
man.
Cool as shit.
That's a cool idea.
They put a lot of effort into
it. Wish
it
looked better,
but
it looked
yeah.
good. That's a really yeah, cool a- way that, cool thing though. They tried to get something real. Like that's where, that was Lucas was like, fuck.
I gotta do better.
My
I gotta
shit
do
looks
better.
Fake. I need to at least try. So yeah, that's really neat. Cool fact.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he picks up and you get the scene after he slices, Anakin in half. You have Obi-Wan picking up the lightsaber he would eventually give Luke, which was also a little cool tidbit in there. And we cut to the next scene. Palpatine finds him. He's like, fuck, we can get him to still walk. And I'm just like, god damn, leave him alone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This fool's been through enough. But nope, he gets him still. And then we get the last couple of minutes in this movie, maybe the last 10, which honestly would be pure gold. This ending scene would be pure gold if, and I'm going to say what we get, if we didn't get this dumb shit. So I do love the intercut of the birth of Darth Vader while Padme is giving birth to Luke and Leia.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really powerful and sad moment, and you can really feel it. And deep in the, like, you really get deep in the feels. I love how his face, but before I get there, actually, skipping my notes. And it's a really good moment. It cuts to Padme screaming because she's giving birth. It cuts to Anakin screaming because he's having this weird surgery happening to him. And it goes both ways. And it's a really intense moment. Probably the reason why this movie's PG-13. Other than killing the little nigglets in the other scene that Anakin did. Probably why this movie got PG-13. Right there in these moments of the movie. And then Padme gets birth. He says, Luke. And then he has another one, Leia. It's an epic moment. And I'm just like, God. Honestly, all this would be pure gold. Then Padme dies. And as a kid, I was like, that's stupid. Because apparently, Padme was a healthy girl afterwards. She was a healthy woman after she gave birth to them. She was fine. She was perfect. There was no abnormalities. She was good. But apparently, over this, all these offense and her broken heart, apparently she didn't have the will to live anymore. It was just like she did not want to live anymore. There are a lot of people that have said, I don't want to live anymore, and don't just drop dead. Though apparently Padme just was, she clocked out. She's like, that's it. I'm punching the clock. Peace.
I'm out, guys. Deuces. I can't do it no more.
And that's what they literally say. Mike, I'm so pissed. That's what they literally fucking say in the movie.
She died of a broken heart.
They say she's fine, but no, they say she lost the will to live. That's all they say. They don't say reasons. They just say she lost the will to live. And I'm just like, the fuck, she lost the will to live? Bitch just gave birth to like two babies. She has kids. She has two kids. Raise your kids.
And this movie has just a bunch of moments of just like, fuck them kids.
They're not your will to live? Aren't these children?
Oh, shit.
I was just like, what the hell? As a kid, I was like, you could have made Anakin. Just make Anakin kill her. You can say the force choke was so bad where it just fucked up something and it gave birth.
She just bled out during birth.
Resulted into birth defects, and she had trouble during that.
I think it's the whole problem where they're like, it's so futuristic where they're worried like, oh, we solved all
bullshit.
These problems.
It was the problem of he was trying to make a Shakespearean story, which it would have been just as Shakespearean if you had Anakin kill her. But no, we're gonna just have her lose the will to live.
It seems in your anger,
you didn't need to even say that. You didn't need to say that in this movie. You just, Padme lost the will to live. So Padme dies because she didn't want to live no more. No reason. Anakin didn't do it. She just didn't want to live anymore.
But that's what Darth Sidious definitely tells him.
Oh, definitely.
And then there's this scene where he force fucking decrumples everything around him. The only thing standing is Sheev at the end of it. It's fucking.
But before we get to that, because you're right, I do love that. But I love how when the helmet, because they're doing the Darth Vader creation, and that's where he becomes more machine than man. You get the helmet lowering down on him. And I love that moment that if you catch it, just a glimpse of it while it's coming down on him, you can see his face kind of like.
Yeah.
Kind of like, why did. And you can tell he isn't happy about it.
No,
absolutely. He's not happy about this situation at all. And he's actually probably kind of scared, too, at the same time. And there's that look of fear and all that emotion that suddenly crosses his face right before it happens, and there's a lot you could tell just in those couple seconds. If you blink, you might miss it, but that to me added more depth to Darth Vader. And hearing James Earl Jones speak as Darth Vader was like hearing how heaven sounds, man. Because I loved hearing James Earl Jones come back for this third movie, because that's the first time he came back since Return of the Jedi, and it was really good. Now, do I wish he had better lines? Fuck yeah. He said what he said, and honestly, I think I needed more. You know, I wish I had more of him in the suit and him saying other stuff. And then he does that Lucas dialogue where James Earl Jones says, and he says the no, and it's so corny and bullshitty and forced in, and I fucking hate it. I'm just like, oh, come on. Why did he have to? You didn't have to. Yeah, you really didn't have to. But, yeah. Got it. And it's a fantastic scene. That's why I said this all would have been awesome if it's you hadn't great. Done it's... some bullshit in there. It's like, fuck. This is great stuff. I'm with you. I like what I'm seeing. I still like the last few minutes of this movie. It's just love the it. Shit you have thrown in there. It's like,
Can't you blame the grandiose of
I'm definitely praising the grandiose of it all.
It's supposed to be kind of like dramatic. You know what I mean? It's kind of supposed to be.
I get you. It's dramatic in all the wrong ways, though. When you're hitting so perfectly, you could tell even more.
You hit in the G spot, and then I don't know where you're just not doing it anymore. Yeah, you just switch.
And it's not subtly. It's in your face, bad, and a sea of good shit going on. You know what I mean?
I love his look, dude. Darth Vader's so fucking scary looking, even with his silly, like, fucking 1970s fucking armor over here. 1968. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Lord Vader? Oh, there it is.
Where is Padme? Is she safe?
James Earl Jones.
Is she all right?
Is she all right? Oh, this is so stupid. In your anger, you killed her. I'm moving past that.
Oh, don't worry, bro. You didn't kill her. She lost the will to live.
She lost the will to live. I couldn't
fucking
have.
Movie.
She's alive. I felt it.
She felt it.
You did. You were right.
You're right.
Oh, boy.
I just got to play the note for you.
Oh, no. Here it comes.
Are you mad, bro? This is some powerful emotion being conveyed, and you didn't have to say
that. Then he does that. Oh my god!
You're sad, bro. You didn't have to yell.
Yes. And then after that, the last few scenes are just connecting scenes, linking to the better films, the better movies. The happy days are coming, guys. The babies are safe. Luke goes to Tatooine to be poor. Leia goes to Sidor Organa to be rich.
I know. But he did go with family. He really did go with family.
And that's really cool. He did go to family. And you need those separations, kind of. It wouldn't be the story that
they were supposed to hide the children. So you didn't want them together exactly to make them inconspicuous. But I mean, Princess Leia becomes like a big fucking deal, kind of, sort of. She's a fucking princess.
Exactly.
She's kind of fucking out there.
So that's why I'm just like, huh?
Why doesn't your kid look like you?
I'll be like, Vader, why did you realize that was your daughter sooner, probably?
Yeah.
Because I think you're more in the eye, I would want to say. But they are also on the run. So
I don't know if Lord Vader ever really figures. Maybe. You got to remember, that's not Lord Vader's kid. That's Anakin's kid.
Yeah.
You got to realize there's a true distinction when you get Darth Vader versus Anakin.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're right about
Anakin's dead as of right now until Luke revives him.
Mm-hmm. And so, Luke goes to Tatooine with his aunt and uncle, I believe. Leia to Senator Organa. Obi-Wan, who delivers the babies. Obi-Wan
We're about to find out. Nope, he doesn't, because there's obviously stuff. Is he on exile for the Obi-Wan
From what
show?
We know.
Now,
Disney Plus, they can add stuff. I don't care. The books, fuck that right now. We're going from what
books
we
don't
see
exist
in
anymore.
The movies.
They're not. The expanded universe is not. It's what it is anymore.
But
we got full golded up C-3PO on here.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful funeral they have for Padme. I love the dress she has, and I love that she. It's one of those things I didn't notice. I think I just realized it now that she's holding the thing that Anakin gave her, the little necklace thing that Anakin gave her in Phantom Menace, on her fingers during her while she's in her casket.
Yeah, well, Jar Jar Binks,
one more
did
time.
This, dude.
One time
you
for the one time.
You did this, just so you know. You're the reason why.
Yeah, be sad. But yeah, man, I mean, Obi-Wan goes into exile in Tatooine, as we know.
She's gorgeous.
Think. And Yoda is in exile in Dagobah. And pretty much you get, and the movie pretty much ends with them looking at the sunset, Luke's aunt and uncle. That's a wrap. Credits. It still leaves, as much as it ends on that grim note, we do know what happens next. And it still ends on that, when you have a grim Star Wars movie, you could always count on it ending on that little dash of hope that these movies have. And that's how the Revenge of the Sith ends, on that dash of there's hope for the universe.
Yeah.
For such a grim movie. And like I like Revenge of the Sith a lot better than the first two. It's the story we wanted in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Lucas wasn't scared to go dark with this film, and I love that. And there are still problems with the dialogue and romantic parts, but it's awesome and fun, man. What do you overall think of before I make some closing,
it's one of my favorite
statements. What
it's,
are you?
It's overall one of my favorites compared to the other ones. Mind you, this was still when we were kids, man. So I was still all in love with Star Wars. I loved Attack of the Clones. I loved the action in there as a fucking, you know, dumbass kid. But you know, this one, it's definitely one of my. I can say it's one of my favorites. I can't really place them. I have to actually go through a list and actually rewatch them all again before I make a list. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's so hard to put. I'm not gonna rate it. It's a great film for me. Mm-hmm. Not and you. I do know it has its problems. It has its quirks and it's aged a little bit. But yeah, I do enjoy.
And this movie aged the best out of the prequels, if anything. If all the prequels, this is the one I'll tell you to watch. If you
Little Leia baby,
if you want to watch them all, I the first two movies are good enough. Where I'll say, well, not good enough, but I respect Star Wars enough where if you're gonna take the whole Star Wars plunge, you have to watch Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. But if you're just casual, going through your ways, and you're just interested in Star Wars, you need to get fixed quick type of situation. Get all your info in. Watch Revenge of the Sith and then go on, because honestly, all you still need is Revenge of the Sith, in my opinion.
No, watch the Clone Wars, this TV show.
And the Clone Wars TV show. That. Yeah, watch Clone Wars. Go straight to that. Then go into it.
I'm gonna show my girlfriend that. You know, I don't know where I'm gonna start her off. I think I might start her off on.
Honestly, just because Rise of Skywalker is so close, you probably want to get her up to date. I will say just. The start from Force Awakens. Yeah, she should take the whole plunge. No,
she didn't want to watch it. It was very frustrating.
She should take the. Well, she's not interested, man. I don't know. Or you could try another what day. Can you do?
The two sons of Tatooine, right there. You see Luke being held by his aunt and uncle.
Yeah, that ending is great.
What was the uncle's name again? Is his name
Uncle something?
Uncle drinking uncle blue milk.
No, I don't know. Uncle blue milk. But just to hark back to, because this is a joke I made, I still think it's funny, because that emperor, when he gets into it, when he's doing that lightning, like, and he makes that face with his teeth.
Look like a damn
rat. No, he looks like someone watching people fuck or something like that, like some horny old ass man. He's like, and then he's just like, yes, yes. I feel it in you. Even when he's talking to Anakin in some scenes. And I get the creepiness of it where his eyes roll up, but it just looks like a horny old ass man. Just like, Anakin.
Executive producer.
I feel it. George yes.
Roll
it's just,
credits.
And like I said, I'm with you guys. I think the stupid romantic dialogue and the plot threads that don't add up and the no scene. No. I make fun of it too, but at the very least, I finally got something that felt closer to what the prequels are supposed to be. You know, it is daring and it's daring. It's dark. It's gritty and brooding, and has big battles and things you can follow.
There's a lot of
brooding. But this one you can follow. Like I said, there's a lot of things you can follow, and this movie is the most. Easiest one to follow from all of them. And I don't mind watching this. This is a good one. This is the one I don't mind watching time to time. This used to be the one I put on every time I felt sick. I don't know why. I just felt like watching Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
For some reason. But I don't mind watching this. There's some stupid shit. Yeah. But the fight scenes and the cinematography and the way it visually tells this story is really interesting. But by no means, no, this movie's not perfect. But it's hard for me to not recommend this one. You know, the first one I learned something or what the attention is, I still can't say is good, but it started feeling and looking like Star Wars with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what I like, and that's all I wanted from the prequel series. And for a while, you know, this movie seemed to be the end of Star Wars movies, you know, literally and figuratively.
The beauty of everything. Go ahead.
No pun intended, but a new hope seemed to be in the future. And a new hope was. Because whatever you want to say about, at least in timelines, we're going to go into our new hope, and that leads us into our new hope.
I can just tell Tierra.
But I mean that also in delight, since this movie came out in 2005, we never knew in 2015 that we'd get a Force Awakens or Lucas would sell Star Wars to Disney. That was crazy and just. And I do see, I get it, and I get why it changed the selling of that to Disney. It gave other people and other creators a chance to get on and hop on board.
Get some new blood in there.
The story, yeah, and new blood. We need that. Definitely need it.
Especially since experienced Mandalorian. We got
I forgot how much he sold it for, $4 billion or something. And what they've done with it, we'll get to these movies, but what they've done with it, there's some good things. There's some bad things. Definitely want expansion. I wish things were expanded and looked at more when it comes to Force Awakens.
Get away
from... That's more of a different talk. But and we'll get there when we get there. But I overall, agree. I will still say with this, some people even look back at the prequels with new eyes and say that it's better than the series we have now. And with me now watching these movies and rewatching the prequels and looking at the new ones and going into the new ones now, I just still don't think that's true. I think the prequels are the new ones that we get with Rey and Finn aren't as bad as the prequels are. But with these new movies happening, yes, it did make me look back and appreciate some things about all three of these movies mm-hmm. more. There's something I could appreciate it out of each one of these movies that I could probably name. You know what I mean? I like them a little bit more. And yeah. I don't think they're the worst stories in the world, but I do think,
they could have like been I done said, better.
These movies, yeah, they could have been done better, and it's just a string of bad movies coming off of a string of good ones.
Yeah.
It's always been his downfall. But yes, like I said, I like this movie. It's one of the good ones. Perfect? No. What? Watchable? Yes. And I recommend watching Revenge of the Sith. It's a good time.
Let's see. I'd give it...
I don't have a rating.
I don't have a rating system.
I don't even think I'm going to have a rating system. I think I'm just going to talk movies.
Hey, it's a Star Wars movie.
But yeah, it's a Star Wars movie. It feels like...
Watch some fucking laser sword fights and exactly. Enjoy yourself. Shut up. Sit back and relax and enjoy. Eat some popcorn.
Yeah. It's fucking popcorn. But thank you guys for listening to our Revenge of the Sith. That was Revenge of the Sith, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed our analyzation of it. Thanks for sticking with us through the prequels. We did it.
Yeah, we got through them finally.
On to the good ones. Yes.
We got a lot to get through coming up in the next week. We're going to be having a lot of episodes drop.
Yeah, we're just dropping them all on you. All Star Wars reviews. Sorry.
Watch them. It's fine.
Please,
we got some time.
Please support. I know Rise of Skywalker is coming out. I know that'll probably be a big hit when we review it. Please look back at all our Star Wars content before that.
Yeah.
In whatever's released before Rise of Skywalker, please give it a look-see.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. This has been Cinema Language. I'm Marcel, your gracious host. You can find me. Watch Your Language. Watch Cinema Language under Galaxy Podcasting Network. Soon I have the Facebook up, and soon I give you guys the email. Just keep in touch for that info. Mike?
Yeah, just hit up Galaxy Podcasting Network on Facebook or Twitter or on Instagram. We'll definitely get those questions over to Marcel so he can answer anything. And if you have your opinions, please send it to him because he loves to argue.
Yeah, I love to.
Well, like I said, Galaxy Podding Twitter, Galaxy
Debate.
Podcasting Network on Facebook, Galaxy Pod. Casting on Instagram. Follow me, Mike RMZ, and then of course check out ONN when you get a chance. It's Our New Normal on Galaxy Podcasting Network.
Awesome. And thank you guys for listening. And remember, folks out there, keep your eye out for the new ones, a new hope coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Be in tune for that. Stay on the lookout. Hope you guys listen. Please be look for that. And this has been Cinema Language. And remember, people out there, watch your cinema language. Bye. We did a good show. I can do Empire Strikes Back if you want to tonight. How long was that one? It's like we didn't record shit, man.